Welcome to Lake Travis ISD Matters. I am Marco Alvarado, the Executive Director of Communications and Community Relations for the Lake Travis Independent School District located in Austin, Texas, and I have the pleasure of serving as host of this podcast. The purpose of our podcast is to take a deeper dive into matters that are important to our school community. Because if it's one thing we can all agree on, Lake Travis ISD matters. The Lake Travis Independent School District is proud to release the third episode of our podcast, Lake Travis ISD Matters. In this episode, we will be discussing mental health resources with district staff. We will also hear from two incredible student leaders at Lake Travis High School. Joining me today is Lake Travis ISD Director of Health and Social Emotional Learning, Ms. Jennifer Lyon. Jennifer, thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Marco.
Well, let's get right to it. We have a number of things to discuss today. We're going to be primarily focusing on mental health resources, and the topic will be our social workers, which is a very new service for us here at Lake Travis ISD. Tell us a little about the history and structure of our social workers here in our district.
Sure. When I joined the district in 2018, one of the things that became apparent to me pretty quickly was the limited amount of resources we have for mental health for students in our area. We have a good number of therapists in the area, but many of them have a wait list of at least 6 months. So for kids to get in to see someone for an urgent mental health need, there was quite a long delay. Beginning in the fall of 2019, we started with one social worker for the whole district, which was about 10,000 students at the time, and quickly realized that we needed more. So the following year, we added a second social worker, one that was full-time at the high school, and then one that traveled amongst the middle schools and elementary schools. With the addition of some ESSER funds, which we were blessed to get, we added additional three social workers the following year. So for the past 2 years, we've had five social workers in our district, two full-time at the high school, and three that office out of each middle school and then serve the feeder pattern elementary schools for that middle school.
Tell our listeners out there, what are some of the benefits to having our social workers being on staff, on site?
Sure. One of the most immediate helpful benefits that we've seen is the availability of them to respond in a crisis situation. Suicide, anxiety, and depression have skyrocketed for our youth. We've also seen the need increase for our school counselors and our social workers to be available at the ready for any given situation, and also to try to prevent as much of that as we can. So the immediate benefit is that we have folks to call in the moment of crisis. The long-term benefit is that we're able to provide some care for these students to try to prevent these crisis situations from happening.
We're going to hear very shortly from Lacey Branker and Rachel Maycumber, who are going to talk about some of the specific roles that they perform and the campus-based activities and resources that they're a part of. But tell us from a district-level perspective, what are some of the things that we are helping with as far as connecting parents to our resources?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Marco, because I'm going to do a shameless plug for our social work parenting series this year. We recently released a recording of about anxiety and depression. We have one coming out about helping your child through suicidality and self-harm. In the spring semester, we'll be releasing parenting series information, topics on social media use and abuse, and then also substance use and abuse. So we hope that these topics help our parents look for and recognize signs of things to be worried about, and then give them support of what to do in case they see these signs in their children. And then also helping them to know that they can reach out to the school staff at any time for support for their children.
As we close with you, Jennifer, what do you see that role of the social worker being over the next, you know, again, 3 to 5 years or so?
I see more integration with the campus now that we have settled in more. We're not spread as thin. I'd love to grow this program and for each campus to have their own social worker in the future so they can really integrate and provide that extra layer of support for campuses and students and even staff at times. Who are going through any kind of a mental health situation, just to be proactive and less responsive so that we can get out in front of issues instead of waiting for them to come to us.
Jennifer, thank you so much for being here again today. We're going to now bring in, as I mentioned, Lacey Branker and Rachel Maycumber from Lake Travis High School. We're going to get to, you know, some detail with them about their role and what they do for the school district. And so I want to thank you again for joining us today on Lake Travis ISD Matters.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lacey and Rachel, I want to welcome you to Lake Travis ISD Matters. Let's talk about the role of a school social worker and what exactly that means. And tell us a little bit about your background, your professional credentials, and how you got started. And we'll begin with Rachel.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to be here. So the role of school social work is pretty new to Texas and Lake Travis ISD. So this is kind of a fairly new program. For me specifically, my credentials are that I am a licensed master social worker, which are the lowest level of credentials you need to have in this role. You need to at least have a master's. And I am actively working towards my clinical license, which would make me an LCSW, which is a licensed clinical social worker. I am currently under the supervision of Lacey Brinker, and so we work very collaboratively in that way. I've been a social worker for about 11 or 12 years now, and I've worked in schools for about 7 years.
And so not many people realize that schools have social workers. That's like you mentioned, that's something relatively new for schools. And so Lacey, tell us a little bit about your background.
So thank you as well for having us here. I have been a social worker for almost 20 years, all of which have been within the education field. So as Rachel had mentioned, I am a licensed clinical social worker, and I also have my supervision certification, so I'm able to mentor those who are working towards the LCSW level of certification. I have worked in education from all the way from preschool through high school, and actually had the opportunity to also teach as an adjunct professor in my master's level graduate program.
Fantastic. So Lacey, you know, I'll speak for myself. A lot of folks think with, you know, the pandemic that that's really when we started thinking about mental health. But of course, it occurred way, way before the pandemic. But tell us briefly about some of the things that you've seen that came out of the pandemic. You know, what are some of the services that you're providing for our students and families post the pandemic, if you will?
I think that's a great question. I think a lot of people are trying to still wane through how to get through the post-pandemic behaviors, symptoms, the aftermath. I think one of the things that Rachel and I are seeing is just that, the symptoms of it, that isolation, therefore depression, anxiety, knowing how to navigate to re-socialize into the world, because when you are isolated, you only have to worry about me, myself, and I. And now there's so many other layers to that when you are put back into the environment of everyone. And so I think a challenge that we've seen on the staff level is dealing with the aftermath as well. Also, I don't know how many people have actually been able to process what they've been through. So because of that, we see some burnout, I think, from staff, which is where nationwide we're seeing the turnover of educators in schools. And I think from the kids, it's a lot of the anxiety, the depression, self-esteem. How do they find their voice again when they've been silenced for so long because they were in isolation? It's been quite a uphill battle of trying to navigate all of that in conjunction to what people have already experienced prior to the pandemic.
Rachel, tell us about how this technically works. Is it a referral that a student has to get to come see one of you or someone else on the team? A teacher referral, a parent? I mean, tell us exactly how that works.
Yeah, of course. So the way that we receive referrals is we receive them through the counseling center. So students can refer themselves to their counselor and say, hey, I want to be connected with a social worker. Parents, staff members can also reach out to their student's counselor and say, hey, I think this would be great for them. Do you mind sending a referral? And so then we receive an email on our end and we see all the information that the counselor has gathered, boiling down to age, grade, whether or not the child has insurance, and some of the information they're not privy to. So it does take some investigative work sometimes on our part, but that's essentially the way that we come to meet with students. And then we work with their teachers, their counselors, other staff members to make sure that we're able to reach out to them in a way that works for them, that feels inviting, that kind of opens up the conversation for them being willing to come and meet with us.
Lacey, what have you seen as far as, you know, the effectiveness of the program? What kind of feedback are you getting from parents?
From parents, I have been very blessed to work with some really amazing families, and I feel like they feel seen and heard and supported. They feel like their child has a safe place to connect to. You know, Rachel and I think are really good about having an open door policy with our students, our staff, our parents. So we really try to create an environment that allows them to feel that they can reach out to us and get some, hopefully, answers to questions or concerns that they may have.
Being, an administrator, I've seen some of the effectiveness of the CAFS Who Care tip line, right? You get a lot of anonymous referrals that way too, or not referrals, but information that you follow up on and tips and different things to help these students who may be in need and you know, crying out for help. What other resources are we offering our students and families?
One thing that I do think is unique is that we do offer those one-to-one services, right? And I know that we do more beyond that, but I think that's great because we can offer it on campus during the regular school day. Because I know for us, something that we see very often is that kids are not always able to get in with a local mental health provider just because of wait lists, because the need is so great. And so we're good at helping bridge the gap. And additionally, what we can offer is we connect families to mental health providers. We try to do as much research as we can on our end to make sure that we know what providers are accepting insurance, what providers have availability, and we also keep proximity to the students' home in mind, because we don't want to send you somewhere that's, you know, 15 miles away that you may not likely go to. We also like to provide supportive guidance to parents. We spend a lot of the time when we get phone calls from parents helping them process what they're experiencing with their student, helping provide them with coaching and guidance around how they can navigate these experiences at home and better support their child. We also connect families with community resources, whether that's clothing assistance, food assistance, anything that kind of falls under the traditional social worker, if you will. And then we also like to collaborate with students, teachers, administrators, counselors to ensure that we're providing a holistic approach to support, because support isn't just a one-way road, right? We can't be the ones who are providing everything, but what we can do is work collaboratively with everyone to make sure that we all have eyes on these kiddos.
So Lacey, tell us about one of the newest resources available at Lake Travis High School, which is the use of therapy dogs. Again, that's something that most districts, I'm going to dare say, maybe either don't have or two are very new to that process. And so describe for us how we even were able to acquire a therapy dog, and there was a partnership there with somebody, and how the therapy dog is being used in our program.
As you mentioned, yes, it's a new program that we had started this year at the high school. We have recently partnered with the Dog Alliance, who has brought in one of their lower level therapy dogs to work with our students on campus. So we've recently been able to have that partnership, thankfully, from the LTEF grant that has enabled us to bring that resource to our school. And it has been an extreme benefit to our students and to our staff. And because luckily we've had the same handler and dog on our campus, he's easily recognized. Students have been able to come to our area of our offices in the link and meet with the dog. And also we've recently had the opportunity to bring him into some of the classrooms with teacher and student permission to bring that love into the room. And you definitely see, as soon as the dog goes into the classroom, how much everyone's starting to smile and they perk up. And it just really makes such a huge difference. So many students are like, I wish we can have this every day. And so we are now hopefully working on bridging that partnership with other schools within the district, because as I have mentioned, they're currently just at the high school. And we've recently been able to make that partnership with Lake Travis Elementary in working with the recent passing of an elementary school student on that campus. And that dog has been able to bring just some healing process to that bereavement that's going on with the students, with the staff. And it has been such a blessing to have on that campus as well. And hopefully the goal is to expand that and bring it to the other schools.
Before the broadcast, we talked a little bit about a website that you all are building. So Rachel, we'll start with you. Tell us about, you know, how parents can contact you.
Yeah, great. Of course. So we are going to be building in a social worker piece to the LTISD website. It will highlight each of the social workers that are present at the schools. Our social workers that work at the middle schools also work the elementary feeder pattern, so it'll specify that information for parents. It will also have our biography, our credentials, and ways for parents to get in touch with us. Additionally, it will have live resources available to parents. So if they need to be connected with mental health services, food assistance, any of those things we talked talked about earlier, that will be there for them all in one place so that that way it's easy to navigate, easy for them to find. And of course, if there are ever additional questions or a parent needs clarity or they kind of just want to have an additional support person on their student's campus, they can contact us through that website.
One of the neat things we see with any program is when it's student-centered and when students take the initiative to help themselves and help others. Tell us about the Breathe Initiative, Rachel, and we're going to be talking to a couple of our students here shortly about the specifics of what who they are, what they do, what their goals are. But just ballpark, you know, something like the Breathe Initiative Club. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the Breathe Initiative Club started 3 years ago, and it was created by two senior students who were on campus at that time that were seeing a real need for mental health recognition and support on campus at the student level, and they wanted to be proactive about being able to enact change. And so they took that on themselves and they built the club from the ground up. As far as I'm aware, they hadn't had something on the campus like that prior to. And I think as we think about it, it was really great because it was really kind of in that gray space of the pandemic where we had some students on campus, not a whole lot, but we had a lot of them who were at home kind of experiencing that isolation like we talked about earlier. They wanted to be proactive. And so Lacey is actually the one who oversees or sponsors that program as a staff member, and watching the growth of this program over the past 3 years has been really phenomenal. The students have been really open to it. I think a lot of the students on campus recognize there's a need for mental health help or recognition on campus. And so it's a great way to say, we recognize this need, we see that it exists, and let it be student driven so that that way it feels very collaborative and it doesn't feel like a group of adults trying to tell them what to do.
That's fantastic. Again, it's great to see these students take that leadership. And as you mentioned, this was 3 years ago, and so they, you know, paved the way, so to speak, right?
Absolutely.
For students that are coming up after them, which is great. So before we get to our students, I want to thank you ladies, Lacey Branker, Rachel Makemer. Thank you so much for being here with us today on Lake Travis ISD Matters. This is a great story that we felt needed to be told. And we hope this is the first of many such discussions that we'll have with you folks and with our community as well. So thank you both very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate y'all's time.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Speaking of students, we have two amazing student representatives with us today on the show. We have the president and vice president of the Breathe Initiative, and I'd like to take this opportunity to have them introduce themselves. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. My name is Brooke Davis, and I am the president of Breathe Initiative.
And my name is Avery Hamlin. I'm a junior, and I'm the vice president of Breathe Initiative Club.
Welcome to each of you. So, Brooke, let's start with you. Talk to us about how this club even came to be and what's the purpose of the Breathe Initiative?
So, Breathe Initiative began back when I was a freshman by one of actually our senior volleyball players, who was Mackenzie Coode. She was a junior at the time, but it really came together towards the end of the year when COVID hit. And she just felt that the campus was so competitive and overwhelming for not only student athletes, but also just regular students and kids that were involved in fine arts or anything on campus. And so they felt that there really needed to be an outreach program where students feel comfortable not only talking to counselors and teachers, but also their peers. And they felt like on the same level as everyone else.
Avery, tell us about the club and how it's been received by your peers. What do you hear from your fellow classmates about the Breathe Initiative?
I feel like a lot of people join clubs just to look good on college applications or stand out in some way. But I think the Breathe Initiative Club really focuses on doing things and giving back to the campus and not necessarily about like ourselves. And I think that's important, just talking, having a place to talk with your peers. And I think once people come step in the room in our first meetings or whenever they want to join or talk to us at in the cafeteria or something, I think they kind of see that too, and that it's a place where everyone can support everyone and talk about whatever we want to talk about, whether that's mental health or just how your day is going. I think it's important to not just only focus on, oh my gosh, how's your mental health? Like, are you sad today? Like, not only about that, and just kind of be there and have a friend for each person in the club.
I think that's awesome how this even started, and that's with that student leadership and student initiative, which is amazing to see that, and that it's grown. I think, Brooke, you talked about, of course, it's formed a couple of years ago in the midst of the pandemic. What has the enrollment in this club been like? Are you seeing more members into the program?
Oh, 100%. So after I joined towards the end of my sophomore year, we had like barely anybody. It was like maybe like five people in a room. And then last year we certainly got a lot. We actually could have like officers and a president and everything. And then this year, I think we have a ton of kids that come to clubs, help out. It's really grown and we're still like super young, which is like really nice to see that it's each year it's like just exponential growth.
What does mental health awareness mean to you?
So for me, it's something that I was very passionate about because still passionate about. Because I dealt with like a lot of mental health issues just off of body image and self-image. Growing up as an athlete, you know, you view yourself in a very like high level way, and I held myself to that standard a lot. And so growing up, that was really hard for me to like deal with because I always felt like I was failing and stuff. But going into an environment where it's like 20 times as what I already expected myself was really hard. So having heard about Breathe Initiative, I wanted to join just because not only would it help me, but also help others who also felt like me. And something that helped me along with my journey was this volleyball player who used to play at USC, Victoria Garrick. She did a TED Talk in, I think it was like 2019 or 2018. And it like completely inspired me to like be a mental health advocate because it was just like how she dealt with her was kind of the same, dealt with her issues was kind of the same as why the same way I dealt with mine. And so my freshman year, I decided to go to one of my teachers who was in a Path BIM class, which I don't think we offer that anymore. And I presented to like my entire freshman class about breaking the stigma of mental health. And it was like, I saw like all the feedback that people also felt like the exact same as me. And that really like pushed me to join the club and to kind of create this program to where it is today.
Again, kudos to you two ladies and to your predecessors who, again, we talked about it with Ms. Brinker and Ms. Makemer about laying down that foundation, and it's still going strong and getting stronger from what I'm understanding. So that's fantastic. Talk to us about how other students can join your club. You know, how often do you meet? Where do you meet? That kind of thing.
Well, so we're actually working on a lot of outreach within the school right now. And I think whenever we do our things, we always have a little QR code to sign up either to follow our Instagram to learn more about us or to go to our next meeting. And they are mostly on Wednesdays if you want to join in the mornings. But it depends. It really just depends on what our next goal is and so what we're planning for, if it's making posters or planning our next event. But I think it's a really cool an important way to just kind of be a part of the community at school.
In most clubs, you're going to have special events and other fun activities. Avery, you mentioned a walkathon before the broadcast. Tell us about that walkathon that y'all are planning for the spring.
It's an event where we can kind of raise money, and it's with the whole community and just not only within the high school, but the whole community. And we can kind of go around. I think it's going to be on the football field and just walk and raise money for our club to be able to do more things and sponsor more holiday weeks like Brooke was talking about, or not even holiday weeks, but spirit weeks, sponsor more of those. And it's just going to be a good way to kind of get the community together. And even things that we're not specifically talking about mental health, but just being around a club that supports mental health and just kind of getting that idea out even more and saying like, it's okay to have mental health issues or talk about it a little more and bring it into more conversation is just going to be really important. And even if it's through walkathon, I think it's going to be a really good event.
If I could add to that, just saying that part of like welcoming the entire community was also to let the parents know of younger kids that we have something on campus like this. Because the students at Lake Travis High School have probably heard of Breathe Initiative a couple times, but the middle schoolers, elementary schoolers probably have no idea what it is. And we want them to feel safe coming into this environment that is so intense.
Kudos to you, ladies. Have I missed anything? Do you want to add anything before we close today's program?
Our Instagram. Oh, yeah. So we have an Instagram. It's at LT Breathe Initiative. You can follow us on there. We post a lot of stuff of upcoming events. We'll probably also post more about like meetings and stuff like that for other kids to join. For students that are going to be here, we're going to have like QR codes that will be out. If they do feel like they want to join the club, they can just scan the QR code and submit a link.
Fantastic. And you mentioned Instagram. I know that our social workers also have an Instagram account. For those of you on the social media world, that's Lake Travis HS underscore social workers. Again, Lake Travis High School or HS underscore social workers on Instagram. And you can keep track of the social workers on social media. So ladies, again, Brooke, Avery, thank you so much for your vision, your initiative. That is to be commended. Your leadership, first and foremost, what you're doing, not only for your current grade level and for your peers, but those that are coming after, for years to come after you. They've got a great, great plan to follow. So again, kudos to you and to everyone else that's had a hand in developing this program. I also want to thank Jennifer Lyon, Ms. Lacey Branker, Ms. Rachel Makemer as well for being here on the program. Until the next edition of Lake Travis ISD Matters, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to Lake Travis ISD Matters, the official podcast of the Lake Travis Independent School District. Learn more about our great district. Visit our website at ltisdschools.org.